Amen. Amen. Good morning, 10:30 service. How are you doing this morning? Everybody good? Everybody ready to go? Awesome. Awesome. My name is Cameron. Welcome to you here in the house of the Lord. Welcome to you at home, live streaming with us. You're in the house of the Lord too, aren't you, this morning? Amen. So excited you could join us. Welcome. So glad you're here. My name is Cameron. I'm a youth leader here at City Light Church, and I get the opportunity to preach God's Word this morning. We're moving through this sermon series. It's 2 Timothy. And we've been taking a chapter of this story. We've been challenging you to read it on your own, read it at home, read it in your devotional time, and we've been going through it chapter by chapter. There's some great messages. If you miss one, go back, listen to it, watch it. They're awesome. And this week we're going to close off this series on 2 Timothy in chapter 4. It says in verse 1, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you so much that you're here today, that you're with us. God, I pray that you would be with me as I preach, God, that I would speak your words, that you would flow through me to the people, and that we would all leave this place having received a word from you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're welcome in the living rooms. You're welcome in the sanctuary. You're welcome in the bedrooms, the offices, wherever people are watching this right now, God. You're with us. Your Spirit's here, and you have something for us this morning. Thank you in your Son's precious name. Amen. My father-in-law likes to start every single story by saying, let me paint you a word picture. And he actually does that. If he were here, like he's like, let me paint you a word picture about what happened back in the 70s when I went uphill to school both ways. And you know the story. But he loves to start his stories that way. Let me paint you a picture. So this morning, in honor of him, let me paint you a word picture. It's 65 A.D., Paul is in prison in Rome. Rome is the largest, most powerful city in the world. But half of Rome is burnt to the ground, burnt to a crisp. There was a huge fire in the summer of 64 AD. And Nero, the emperor at that time, he blamed it on the Christians. And there is a persecution spreading through the land that is like no persecution the church has ever received. It's a government-led persecution on the church. And Paul, he is sitting in prison, and he's writing this letter to Timothy, his spiritual son, and he's looking at his life and his legacy. Let's remember that Paul, he spread the gospel farther than anyone thought it could ever go. He planted church after church wherever he went. And he's looking, I think he's sitting in church, sitting in prison, and I believe he's thinking about these churches and what's going to happen after he's gone. What's the legacy of what God did through him? See, what you need to understand, church, as you read 2 Timothy is this. Andrew is dead. James, the brother of Jesus, is dead. James, the leader of the church, is dead. Peter is dead. He was crucified upside down. Philip is dead. Bartholomew is dead. The leaders of the church are all dead or dying. They have reached that time when you know you're like getting old and everyone you know is dying, right? Like you go on Facebook, you're like, oh no. So-and-so died. Oh, that's not funny, but it's kind of, I don't know. Anyways, that was a bad joke. I apologize. Church, Paul is there. He's in prison. And by the end of the year, Paul is going to be dead as well. They're all dying. And Paul is thinking, when all these people that walk with Jesus are gone, when we're all gone, what's going to happen to the church? See, Timothy is the pastor of the largest church in the world, most scholars believe. We don't know exactly how big it is, but we know that they met in a building that housed 18,000 people. It would challenge any church today with its size. And Timothy is a pastor of a multicultural, generational church. And Paul is writing his last letter to Timothy, and he says to him this, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, I charge you, I challenge you, I give you my mantle, my ministry, your calling, I'm giving this to you, Timothy. He says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. See, as Paul is looking on this world, we need to understand, church, that there's two major things happening. One is that the church is being persecuted heavily, like never before. People are falling away. People that Paul baptized, people that Paul ate with, people that Paul saw raise their hands and come to the Lord, they're falling away because of the persecution, the fear. But they're also falling away because false teachers are rising up. And they're saying these new things. One thing they say is that Jesus was not fully human. He was only God. Others say, well, we have secret knowledge that will get you into heaven. You need to follow us. And there's all these groups, these false prophets, and they're pulling, ripping people out of the church. And Paul thinks to himself, after I die, how can the church continue? So he writes to Timothy. In Timothy, he sees the future of the church. He says to him, this is my charge. This is what I need. This is what you need to do. If the church is going to survive after all of us have died, this is it. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That's what you need to do, church. And I think there's such a lesson here for us. We're going through this time. I mean, 2020 was crazy. 2021 seems to be on the same trajectory, right? I mean, stuff's happening. If the church is going to survive, we're going to move forward. This is what we need to do. Preach the word. Be ready. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. So let's dive in. When Paul says preach the word, he uses this Greek verb. I love this. Remember verbs from school? It's an action word, a doing word. It's kerygmaion. And it means to preach, to proclaim, and to declare. There's an element to this word in Greek. It's audible. You know, this isn't something you think. This isn't something you declare by yourself in your bedroom. This is audible, something out loud. Preach the word. Church, I think we can get in this habit as Christians where we go, my actions speak louder than my words. So, you know, it's okay if, you know, I'll just buy someone a coffee at Tim Hortons and I won't tell them about it. That's great. That's wonderful. But, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I'll just like show people Christ's love by what I do. And that's good. Your actions should match that. But every once in a while, church, we need to open our mouths and declare the word of God. Isn't that true? We need to speak it. We need to say it out loud. Hey, this is what God is doing for me. This is what I'm going through. This is how God has delivered me. This is the gospel message. This is the truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins and he died for your sins too. We have to speak that. Paul knew that a silent church is a dying church. So he says to Timothy, preach the word. Don't be silent. Don't be quiet. Declare the word of God. David wrote in Psalm 89, I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. I will declare your love stands firm forever. Church, I believe not only do we need to declare the word of God into other people's lives, but we need to declare it over our own life. If you take this word and you read it, that's wonderful. But it goes another step when you declare it over your life, when you read this out loud. Too often we can get caught in a habit where you just sit alone right before bed, you know, zoom through on our app, on our phone. You know, you got to keep that streak alive, you know, because you're a horrible Christian. If you let your streak fall on your Bible app, you know what I'm talking about, right? Right? You're just, so you read really quick and you put it, no, declare this, speak this. If you read this and declare it over your life will change. If you declare this word over your marriage with your spouse, your life will change. If you declare this with your children, your life will change, right? This is amazing. Declare this, speak this. There's power in words, church. Paul said, preach the word. Paul said, be ready. Last week, Burton spoke about anticipating Christ's return, right? Anticipate God's, Jesus is coming back. I mean, no one knows the day, no one knows the hour, but he's coming back, right, church? You know, I wonder, you know, are you ready for Christ to return? If you leave this place, you go to Tim Hortons, you get your order, your potato wedges, your ice cap, and then before you even pay, boom, Jesus comes back. Are you ready? Right? We need to ask ourselves this question. When I was a teenager, I was in this time in my life when I didn't know if I was going to follow God or not. I was, you know, pretty wishy-washy back and forth. And I was at a party, and I thought to myself, well, you know, we're, you know, doing what teenagers do. I thought to myself, is this what I want to be doing when God comes back? If Jesus came back right now, is this where I want to be? Like, let's be honest, church. If we knew Jesus was coming back in an hour, there's certain things we wouldn't be doing. Shouldn't we live our life that way? right? He might come back. He could come back. Let's be ready in season, out of season for Christ's return. Are we ready for prompts from the Holy Spirit? Did you wake up this morning thinking, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to me? The Holy Spirit's got a word for me today, something He's going to say to me. Maybe He's going to prompt me to talk to someone, to give something, to join a ministry, to speak the word in someone's life. The Holy Spirit has something for us. If you woke up this morning and you thought, oh, the Holy Spirit is nothing for me, your day's not worth living, church. Isn't that true? The Holy Spirit has something for us. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for God to do something great? Did you walk through those doors thinking, man, today God is going to do something great. Cameron's preaching. Boy, he's great. He's wonderful, right? God's going to do something great. Did you come through those doors believing that? Or did you come through those doors thinking, man, it's almost lunchtime. You know, I haven't eaten since like 8. It's a disaster, right? I'm so excited for lunch. This sermon's going to be a record for speed. No, I'm kidding. You'll be here a while. I have 75% left on my battery, so we're good. Did you walk in this morning thinking God's going to do something great? Because that's how we're called to live, right? We serve an all-powerful, all-living God that spoke the universe into existence. He's going to do something great today. And if you live your life expecting Him to do something great, guess what He's going to do? Something great. And if you live your life thinking, oh, this day's just like the last, can't wait for the weekend, what's your life going to be? God's going to do something great. I'd love Exodus chapter 12, the story of the Passover. It's this amazing imagery. And when the Passover meal, God says about it in Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I don't know about you, but when I think about Christmas dinner, you know, it's like this thing you enjoy, you savor, right? Every course after course, and you're like, I can't have any more. Just kidding. Yes, I can. And you know, like you sit there and you have, you know, it's a meal. You take your time. But God's supper, this Passover, this greatest of meals, He says, eat it ready, right? Belt on, sandals on your feet, staff in your hand. Are you ready? The children of Israel were called to be ready because God was going to do something great, and He did. Are we ready? Is this how we eat our meals? Is this how we go through life? Is this how we drive? Is this how we come to work ready for God to do something great? And if we change our outlook and we're always ready for God to do something great, it will change everything, church. Paul said, preach the word. Paul said, be ready. And then Paul said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I looked up these words in the dictionary and I was kind of surprised to find what they mean. It said, reprove is to criticize gently, and rebuke is to criticize sharply. We need this in our life, church. Criticize is such a bad word in today's culture, isn't it? In today's society, you can't criticize anything. You know, if Pastor Doug comes up and criticizes you, you'll take your tithes elsewhere, right? I mean, you know, no one can criticize, right? But Paul is calling us to something higher. See, he knew that if the church was going to survive, then we needed to be able to criticize each other. Not, you know, criticize for criticize's sake or just to be negative, but so that we could stir each other up so we can come alongside each other and grow. You know, if you don't have someone in your life who can come to you and say, hey, listen, I think you're off a little bit. Hey, I think you've made a mistake. You've taken a left when you should have taken a right. If you don't have someone in your life who can do that to you, you need that person. We were never called to do this Christian walk alone. Too many people think, I can just do this on my own. You know, I got all this stuff. I got all this technology. I can just do it on my own. You can't. God called us to be in community so that people could come alongside us when we're down or when we're mistaken. Right? We're called to do this, church. Criticize. And in love. You know, this isn't something we do easily or something we do frivolously. This is something we're called to do when the Holy Spirit prompts us to speak into someone's life. If you have influence in someone's life, you need to use that for God's purpose. Amen? It says exhort. I love this. It says stir up by argument or advice. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of like someone saying like, oh, I'm going through this thing. I'm like, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I really will. And then I'm like, bye. And then I never pray for them, right? Let's be honest. You know, I'm like, oh, that sucks what you're going through. That's, okay, bye. I got to go to lunch. It's been 2 services. I'm tired. You know? But stir up by argument or advice. I love this. Stir up. Encourage someone with an argument. Hey, this is what God's got going on. This is what God's word says for you. God's word says that you are the head and not the tail, that He has a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, that He has a purpose for you, right? That's how we should encourage one another, stir each other up. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says, with complete patience and teaching. This word teaching means to come alongside of. It's such a beautiful picture, right? Because that's what this is about. This isn't about us, you know, just saying, hey, you've made a mistake. Hey, your theology is wrong. Hey, you've sinned. Okay, bye. See you next week. God bless. It's about coming alongside someone, you know, getting down with them. Hey, you're going through something, but I'm going to get down with you and we're going to get through this together. Isn't that what a church is about? Isn't that what accountability is about? Coming alongside someone. Jesus spoke a parable, right, about a guy who had a speck in his eye and another guy who had a log in his eye, right? And you have to deal with the log before you deal with the speck. And that's so true. Gets that. Hot take. What Jesus said was true. I mean, write that down. Church, what Jesus was saying was you got to deal with ourselves. And what Paul is saying here is, we were talking about criticizing. I think we got to focus on ourselves first before you criticize others, before you look at someone else. Make sure you got yourself right. When was the last time you sat down with a piece of paper and your Bible and a pen and thought, God, where am I at? How am I doing? What's going on with my walk? Am I the Christian you called me to be? Am I the person you called me to be? The father, the mother, the daughter, the son? Am I who you called me to be? Sit down and ask God that question. Where am I at? One of my good friends, he went through this time in his life when he was really struggling. He wasn't where he was supposed to be with his faith, and he was having a really tough time. And he got this new job during this period, and while he was there, he started working with these guys, and, you know, he was talking like them, he was acting like them, he was going to the same places they went, doing the same things they did. And they went for a meeting in with human resources, and one of the guys he was working with pulled him aside and said, you know, hey, just so you know, this lady we're meeting with, she's a Christian. So be careful what you say and what you do. And my buddy thought, wow, I've been working with this guy for 2 months, and he doesn't even know I'm a Christian. You know, people should know where we're at. It was a wake-up call for my friend, you know. We need to look at ourselves and take a sober assessment of where we're at, what we're doing, and that way we can be effective for Jesus. Amen? Paul said, preach the word. Paul said, be ready. Paul said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, coming alongside. He's giving this message to remember to his son to carry on the church after he's gone. Church, if we apply this, I believe this is how we can become the most effective, wonderful church we could ever be, is by doing this, preaching the word, being ready, you know, holding each other accountable. This is what church is supposed to be about. Paul continues, chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. What Paul says here, it's powerful, isn't it? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Isn't that true? I mean, you can go and you can find a speaker on YouTube or something who will say exactly what you want to hear. I was listening to a message not that long ago, and the preacher, the guy, said, Jesus came to save you from your bad habits. I thought, what is this? What are you saying? You know, people will not endure sound teaching. You know, because that's not what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to save us from biting our nails. He came to save us from our sins, right? Isn't that true? We're born sinful. We are sinful. That's what our nature is, sinful. I'm a great sinner. I'm awesome at it. It's probably one of the things I do the best. But Jesus came to save me from that, to change me from the inside out, to transform me. The gospel is offensive, and it should be. Sound teaching should hit us in the feels sometimes. It should hit us right where we're at and get us, you know? But people won't endure, and we see that. There's grocery market Christians out there, isn't there? Who look through this word and think, I don't like that. You know, I don't know if Jonah really got swallowed by, you know, a big fish. I don't know. And people go and they start to take pieces of this word and they start to, you know, well, I follow, you know, most of the Bible. Not that part. Not those parts. there was this thing, it was called the Jesus Project, and these scholars got together. And they thought, they went through the New Testament, and they decided amongst themselves how likely it was Jesus said something, you know? And they went through, and they decided, I'm here to tell you today that this whole thing, cover to cover, is truth. At City Light Church, that's what we believe. This is our foundation, this is our rock, this is what we built our church upon, this word, cover to cover, amen? This is what we're about here at City Light. And that offends you, I'm not sorry. Because this is who we are and who we're called to be. Paul knew that if we were going to survive as a church, this is where our foundation had to be. See, but our enemy, right? He has a plan. He's a plan against us. I think sometimes we can get caught up in this idea that Satan's got this plan, you know, to tempt us, and it's like really complicated and intricate. It's got all these layers, you know, like as if it's a detective show, and like I'm in the middle, and he's got like, you know, those yarn going from different tacks here and there with this plan to get me. But I truly believe that Satan, our enemy, he has one plan. He has one play in his playbook. If he were a defensive coordinator, he'd just have one play that he showed up to the field with. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say?'" Did you hear that? Did God actually say? You see, that is Satan's play over and over again. Did God actually say? Did God actually say that we're supposed to tithe? I mean, really, that's a lot of money. Did God actually say that we're supposed to, you know, not be in relationships that are negative for us? Did God actually say there are certain things we shouldn't look at, certain things we shouldn't see? Did God actually say? And that is what he plays again and again and again. And slowly but surely, what happens is we lose parts of the Bible. I don't know if God actually said that. I don't know. And before you know, we're not on the foundation anymore, are we? Did God actually say? We are called to know what God actually said, because it's right here for us this morning, right in this book. Amen? What did God say? We should know. If we want to survive as a church, that is exactly what we need, to know what God said. We need to be a church that preaches the word, a church that is ready, a church that is accountable, and a church that is founded on this, and then we can be effective. And that's what Paul is trying to show Timothy. After I'm gone, this is what I want to leave behind. So I ask us, what legacy are we leaving behind, City Light? You know, what legacy is going to be after us? When we're dead and forgotten, what is going to remain? Because I'm here to tell you today, church, that I believe our focus is called to always be eternity focused. Isn't that true? Paul writes to Timothy in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." What better thing could be said about you, right, church? That was a man, that was a woman who fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. "Henceforth," verse 7, "there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul's reminding Timothy, that's our focus. As we're here, as we're building the church, our focus isn't, you know, numbers so that the pastor looks really good. Our focus isn't reaching people so that, you know, like someone will get us our back and tell us to stop inviting people. Like, seriously, come on. Our focus is eternity. Are we not called to stand on the road to hell and say, "Don't go this way," right? "Don't go, take the road less traveled." That's the way to go. And I believe we can do this, church, only when we stand together on this word. We need to know what God says, because our enemy will approach us. Even tonight, you know, like we challenged you to read this book, 2 Timothy, but we're going to get busy. Something's going to come up. Another episode's on in 20 seconds. Spring training is starting today. Hallelujah. Oh, man. You know, right? Things get in the way, and we're there. Oh, I'll read 2 Timothy chapter 4 tomorrow. Oh, I'll read it next week, you know, or whatever, right? We put this off. Church, we need to be in this word. We need to know what God says. Our enemy will come to us again with that. Did God actually say? Know what he said. Don't let yourself be fooled. Know what he said. So as we close today, I just want to encourage you, I want to implore you as we go, to really like let this sink into you. Are you preaching the word? Are you speaking that to people? Are you communicating to people the word of God, declaring that in your life and in their life? Are you ready? Are you ready right now for Jesus to return? Are you ready for God's prompting, for the Holy Spirit to move you? Are you ready? Do you have accountability? That's what reprove, rebuke, and exhort is all about. Accountability. Do you have that in your life? You need it. And lastly, most importantly, do you know what God says? Jesus told a parable about a man who built his house on the sand on a beach and a man who built his house on the rock. And when the storms came and the wind picked up, the house that was built in the sand was destroyed because it had no foundation. But the house on the rock, it survived. Why? Because it was built on a firm foundation. And Jesus said that foundation is the Word of God. And when we build this house on the Word of God, what can stand against us? Absolutely nothing. Right, church? And when we start here, everything else will line up. If we begin lined up to the cornerstone, which is Jesus, we can build this amazing church. Right? I mean, we've moved to two services. I was just talking to Pastor Doug this morning, like, you know, I'm so excited when we have to do three, right? I'm so excited when, you know, I have to preach a fourth time, save my voice. I won't talk to anybody in between, right? Church, are we excited for what God is going to do here at City Light? What He's going to do through us? Come on. And it all starts here. You know, this is where it begins, church. I just encourage you. Go home. Don't let your head touch your pillow before you've read this verse, this chapter, this book of the Bible. Soak it in for all it is worth and go out and do what it says. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are here, that you are with us. You are amazing. Thank you that we have you in our life. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. I pray that each one of us would receive a word from you. You have a word for each one of us this morning. A prompting, a Holy Spirit, a movement inside of us, God. Stir up within the people what you want for them, that you would that they would leave this place changed. If there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus, I'm here to tell you today, this will be the best decision you ever make. Knowing Jesus is this amazing journey. No, not everything will be perfect. You won't win $1 million, but what you will get is to be able to do life with Jesus. And it's worth so much more than money can buy. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And after, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Not so that everyone can look at you. We got our heads bowed, our eyes closed. But so that it's an outward sign of an inward change. If you want to accept Jesus in your heart, it's that simple. Say this prayer with me. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand after. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for forgiving me. Jesus, take control of my life. I give it all to you and lay it at the foot of your cross. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. With every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. If you're online, you prayed that prayer, you can click the link and get your first steps. If you're here today, Jessica's at the Welcome Lounge. You can ask about your next steps. It'll be the greatest decision you ever made. Jesus, as we go, I pray you give each and every one of us a person we need to speak to, a person we need to build into, a person that needs encouragement, a person that needs a word. Give us all a person that we can go to this week and give them that word. God, you have a word for us and a word through us this week. God, stir us up through your Holy Spirit to be bold, to preach the word, to be ready, to be accountable, and to know what you say. God, I pray that a church founded on you would go forward and just affect this community in ways we couldn't even imagine. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done and all you continue to do. In your name, amen. Amen. Thanks, church. Isn't God good? Amen. Now we have an opportunity to put our message into action and give. There are two giving stations at the back. Tithes are 10% of what we make. Offerings are everything over and above that. And here at City Light, Jesus spoke a lot about money because our money matters. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Where's your treasure at? asking you to give. There's so much going on. There's so much need. You know, Dave touched on CLC Cares. There's people are coming all the time with needs, and we can't, you know, help them meet that without your giving. If God is putting something in your heart, you know, open up. God loves a cheerful giver. Give generously, and you know, God does amazing things through what we give. So the give, there are five ways to give: cash, check, debit, credit, e-transfer. Wow. And there are two stations at the back. Before we go, we're just going to pray again. We're going to pray for the Pray and Go ministry. This is an amazing ministry. People are going there praying in their community for people's houses or for households, and they're leaving these cards on their door. It's amazing what's happening. You know, I'm doing it in Colehurst. It's absolutely awesome. What God is going to do through this and continue to do this. So we just want to pray for the people who are, you know, going out and doing this, and for the people that are being prayed for. We just want to pray because God is using this ministry to do amazing things. Isn't that incredible when you go to someone, you don't even know, you just start to pray for them, what God will give you. So let's pray for Pray and Go. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this ministry that you brought to our leadership team that we've rolled out here in this church. I pray, God, that you would just continue to move through this ministry. I pray that as the people go, that they would go, they would fulfill their routes, and they would pray with excellence, that they would be with encouragement, they'd be happily, joyful, ready to pray. And I pray that the prayers that they pray would come true. I'm so glad that our prayers don't just hit the ceiling and return to us, but that they go straight to your throne room where your presence is. God, I pray that each prayer that we pray would be fulfilled. I pray that the people who get these cards, that they would take that step, that they would contact the church through phone or through email, and they would, through that step, they would be connected to us, connected to you through us, God, and this ministry would grow our church in ways we don't even know, God. We give it all to you. We thank you for this ministry, and I pray that everyone who is a part of it, God, will be blessed by you. I know they will, because that's what your word promises us, God. Thank you that we get to be a part of this ministry. In your name, Jesus, amen. Awesome. Well, there's a prayer team available. If you want prayer, come to the front, receive prayer. If you did receive Jesus, or you have any questions, you can go see Jessica at the Welcome Lounge or follow the link. And besides that, thank you. Have a great week. God bless.